Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of people off the floor in meetings. If you would stay on the floor until some of those people trickle back in, that will preserve a quorum so that we can conduct our business. With that, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. I have one announcement from staff today. The flowers that are sitting on your desks, they would like you to leave the vases that they are in so they may reuse them. Thank you. And with that, we will get started for the afternoon. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 58. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 58, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to administration of government health insurance exchange study. This file was sent to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Kraft, Gay, Green, Harvey, Miller, Peasley, Reeder. No, Gingrich. Signed, Representative Harvey, Chairman. This file was further sent to Appropriations, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Escobel, Harshman, Patterson, Stewart, Wallace. No, Edmonds. Signed, Representative Berger, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 58 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. And if, with your indulgence, I'd like to explain the amendment with the bill, and then we could vote on the amendment.
Proceed, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, this bill is dealing with the health insurance exchange study. Last year, we had a full year of study about this issue, and I have to tell you, it's probably one of the most frustrating things that I've ever done. We were always shooting at a moving target. We were unable to have rules and regs and guidelines by the federal government. There were major decisions that they needed to make so that we could help with the design. And so we spent a very frustrating summer working on this issue. And pretty much the only thing that we decided on was that we wanted some governance. Well, so why are we studying it again? The federal government has said that we need to have an exchange ready for their approval by January 1st of 2013. If we do not, then they will impose a federal health insurance exchange upon us. So we have the choice. We can do it alone, or we can do it with them, or we can just let them do it. So this bill has those choices in it. If you would go to page 2, here you'll see some of the changes. On lines 8 through 12, the amendment is to also allow the tribes to serve on the steering committee. And if I could let you know that steering committee was originally appointed by our former governor. It was reappointed by the present governor. It is a governor's study. And then the legislature last year passed that we would have 4 legislative members and 2 legislative, and 2 of those would be co-chairmen of this steering committee. So then it talks about on lines 14 through 18, the other agencies. Now here we get to the meat of the bill. The study shall, and the wording in here is carefully crafted. If the recommendation is that the state should proceed with the development of an exchange, not the exchange, an exchange, provide a work plan development of an exchange, and identify any legislation needed to implement an exchange during the 2013 legislative general and budget session. Now, the federal government wants our plan and wants our insurance plan certified before January 1st of 2013. But we're saying no. We're saying that we are the policymakers, and that until we have a time that we have enough information in front of us to write appropriate legislation, that we will not bring this forward. And so during the legislative session next year, which is our policy session, and it's appropriate that we do this during the policy session, that is when we will make the determination of, do we want an exchange, and then we'll decide what kind of an exchange we'll want. So if the recommendation is that we should proceed, then the steering committee and the labor committee will bring forth three pieces of legislation, three different plans. One of them will be a private-run, private-industry, Wyoming-based insurance exchange using Wyoming numbers and trying to find a way to insure the 83,000 people in Wyoming that have no health insurance. So it would just be bare bones, just very basic. The second bill that we would bring to you would be bare bones plus. And that would be plus the things that are involved in the Patient Protection and Affordability Care Act that makes sense. Some things that they are doing in this make sense. So that would be option number two. Option number three would be a fully federally compliant plan. Now, why would we want to study all three? Well, I think it is very important that we have exact numbers, or as close to exact as we can. What is this going to do to our Medicaid rolls? Are people going to be able to afford insurance under our exchange or any of these exchanges? What about the federal subsidy? Do we want to run that part of it, or do we want to say, federal government, through the IRS, you already have the data, you already have the systems in place. If you want to reward or punish people, go ahead and do it. Do we want to participate in that or not? And I think the only way we can ever really come to full answers is if we have the answers to all three plans. We want to know the impact to the state, to our budget, to our citizens of all three plans. And that's, I think, the biggest reason to pass this piece of legislation is that it gives us comparators. I'd like you to, and all of that is outlined on page 3, exactly how that will happen. On page 4, we talk about a preliminary study report provided to the Joint Labor and Health Services, committee by October 1st. And then the steering committee will further report. Well, that was October 1st of 2011, and that report was very basic. We don't know enough to make a full decision. Then it's further report June 1st. And the reason that we've got the June 1st is we want the input of the legislators that already have some expertise in this area. And so, do they think we're headed in the right direction? Do they think we're not headed in the right direction? What changes would they like to see happen? And that's why we have that June 1st reporting date in there. And then the final report is due October 1st. We may know by June 1st that it's a bust. It's just not worth looking at any further. But in case we decide to continue to study it, then the final report is due in October. The next item is the appropriations that allows for the expenses of the legislators that serve on the committee. And then you'll notice, starting on line 11 of page 5, it talks about attendance at steering committee meetings, well, starting on line 13, steering committee meetings or other travel by those members as authorized by the steering committee co-chairman or management council with the legislature for activities associated with service to on the steering committee. And this is where I'd like you to take out your amendment and on page 6 of line on line 13, it says, insert the funds in this section, and it's $25,000, may be used to host a health symposium or promote partnerships with other like-minded states to explore compacts and partnerships, including shared information technology or insurance risk pools. And so I don't know how many of you were in the legislature when we had our energy symposium, but it proved to be rather successful when we invited states that had skin in the game, if you would, to Wyoming, and we talked about what do we have in common and what are our differences and how can we work through the differences to be able to affect federal change. So that's one of the thoughts. As we gather more data, is that we could host something here and say, you know, how many in this room are interested in compacts? Because truly, insurance compacts that allow joint risk pools are the only real true way that we're going to bring the cost of insurance down. Because if you took all 500,000 people in Wyoming and you put us all in one risk pool, and we're not, it still would be a small risk pool. And so until we can spread that risk out with many other people, our costs of health insurance are not going to come down. So we'd like to get together with other like-minded states. And I'll have to tell you that in my travels this last year, I've talked with legislators from states that have turned back money, states that have said they will not do an exchange, and I talked to them about exchanges because of the bill that we passed 3 years ago. And the legislators that I talked to were all very enthusiastic about it. They thought that would be a great idea. Insurance commissioners, on the other hand, when our insurance commissioner reached out, were not enthusiastic because they were extremely busy trying to deal with the same thing we were with exchanges. So the question is, should it be governor's office to governor's office, insurance commissioners to insurance commissioners, or legislators to legislators? Well, what if we get them all together in one big place and have a discussion? If we're not interested in health insurance exchanges, what are we interested in? And what's it going to take to get people together to figure out what we're going to do to serve the needs of the people of Wyoming? And so that's the explanation of the appropriations. On the bottom of page 5, section 2, starting on line 19, it said, no state agency or person representing the state of Wyoming prior to April 1st of 2013 commit the state of Wyoming to operating an American Health Benefit Exchange as provided in the Patient Protection and Affordability Care Act, nor shall any state agency or any person representing the state of Wyoming enter into any agreement that will cause the state to incur a financial penalty for failing to operate a health insurance exchange. And and you'll notice again that that date is in April, which is in direct conflict to the federal government, who wants that date to be January 1st. But because we are the policymakers, we feel like this decision belongs in our hands, that we should make the decisions, and so we prohibit anyone else from making that decision. And because there are 26 states that are involved in a lawsuit opposing this federal law, we feel like the federal government is going to give us a little bit of leeway because they're not going to know what to do with this if they don't. So part of this is in defiance of the federal government telling us what to do, and the rest of it is we still have 83,000 people in Wyoming that are uninsured. And are we going to ignore that fact, or are we going to try and find a private business model that can create a system that we can bring a marketplace to Wyoming that people can buy insurance for? And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would ask for I would call the question on the amendment that just allows for the funds to be used to host a health symposium. I would call for that question now.
Question having been called, we are on Senate File 58 and Standing Committee Number 1. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The motion has carried. We are back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I would stand for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At this time, I'd just like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 58, and this is just a real quick cleanup. You heard Madam Chairman talk about adding the members of the tribe to this steering committee. In the other Romanettes dealing with people who are appointed to this committee, it makes it very clear that person's appointed by the governor. I think it was just an oversight that language wasn't added to this Romanette. So that's all it does is dictate that the members of the tribal will be appointed by the governor. I'd stand for any questions, but call for the question.
Question being called on Committee of the Whole Number 1 to Senate File 58. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Committee of the Whole Number 1 is adopted to House Bill 50, Senate File 58. We are back on the bill. Do I hear the question? Oh, excuse me. Representative Croker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have some serious concerns with this bill because I think the ACA is a horrible piece of legislation that could bankrupt our country if we're not careful. And there is a serious flaw in that legislation. And that flaw is it does call upon the states to set up a health care exchange system. And if we don't do it, then the federal government will set up an exchange. But the flaw in the bill is that if the federal government sets up the exchange, that exchange does not qualify for the federal funds needed to keep the bill going. So if we do not set up an exchange and the federal government does it, their own law is unworkable, and we have a chance to kill that horrible piece of legislation by not setting up an exchange, because then the funding cannot come into place. So I think we've had the study that we need. We know it's a horrible piece of legislation. We don't want to implement it. Let's kill this bill, not implement an exchange at all. Why waste money studying it when we know we don't want to be a part of the ACA? So I would advise us to not adopt an exchange, and I don't think we need to study something that we don't need to adopt.
Representative Kasparek.
Rising in support of Senate File 58. This legislation, I think, has two important components. It does not obligate this body or anyone in state government to commit to operating a health benefit exchange. What it will do is maintain our position at the table to be part of the conversation, explore opportunities for a Wyoming solution, and to persist in pushback on federal rules. In the words of a respected Wyoming statesman, we need to study everything and commit to nothing.
Did I hear the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 58 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
Senate File 58 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 78.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Representative Conley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. May I have privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Thank you. Friends, will you help me welcome the student members of the Multicultural Student Leadership Initiative at UW. These are freshman students who are paired with a peer upper class man or woman and a faculty member during their first year. And with us are Ahmed, Bianca, Kimberly, Norma, Arum, Lindsay, Reed, Jordan, and Jared. Welcome. Come on, stand up.
Welcome to the People's House.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe all of you guys have noticed this last month of this little girl walking around with 6-inch high heels all over. And this is her fourth year back to be my aide, and she also helps many other members with their work that they have to do, and today may be her last day here, but I'd like you all to give her a send-off. For 4 years, she's come down here and studied and worked with us, so Samantha, will you please stand up?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative and Majority Floor Leader Lubnow.
Thank you. Would you move Senate File 78 to below Senate File 38? And the reason for that is the good chairman is in a meeting.
The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 83. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 83, introduced by Senator Coe, an act relating to regulation and taxation of tobacco. This file was sent to Committee 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Byrd, Illaway, Yagi, Patton, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dan, No, Croker, Roscoe, signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 83 do pass, and the good representative from House District 56 will work on the bill, will explain the bill, and then maybe I'll chime in also.
Representative Stubson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill before you addresses a 37-day-old phenomenon here in the state of Wyoming, and that is there have been developed over the last few years these machines that you can go into an establishment, basically you tell it what blend of tobacco you want, how many cigarettes you want, and it will manufacture your cigarettes for you and spit out either, you know, a pack or a carton of cigarettes. And I believe the testimony was basically it takes 8 minutes to manufacture a carton of cigarettes through these machines. And as I said, until 37 days ago, we didn't have any of these in Wyoming. This legislation obviously started before that, or about that time, I guess. But the surrounding states have passed similar laws, and we heard testimony in committee about the manufacturers of these machines been sending out emails saying, well, we need to find locations over the border in Wyoming and the state to the Midwestern states to move these machines to. And so there's really three problems with these manufacturing machines. One is that we have a law in the state that requires all cigarette manufacturers, and that this would, the establishments that house these machines would be included in that definition, they've got to pay into the tobacco trust fund, and per pack they have to pay a fee into the tobacco trust fund. Two, we don't allow the sales of any cigarettes in the state without the tax stamps on them. And these cigarette machines do not pay the taxes. And three, we don't allow the sale of any cigarettes in this state without fireproof or fire-safe paper. And we just passed that within the last couple of years, and these machines don't use fire-safe paper. And so what you have is really these machines, and they manufacture cigarettes that don't comply with their laws. And so we had testimony from folks in the executive that really they are contraband under our laws and subject to seizure. So without this bill, all what we have is a situation where you as a consumer may come in, order up your carton of cigarettes, and then, you know, if you get reported or if, you know, they're subject to seizure by the state of Wyoming. What the bill does is it simply says and clarifies that these machines are the establishments where the cigarette machines are cigarette manufacturers subject to all the same laws as every other cigarette manufacturer in the state. And so they just need to get their tax stamps. They need to use fireproof paper. They need to pay their fee into the tobacco settlement fund. And so it doesn't ban these machines. It just puts them on a playing field with every other cigarette manufacturer. You will find in your box there was a handout of do's and don'ts, and I think it's fairly telling to sort of the approach that the folks that have been selling these machines have taken. And they have a list of what you do to escape any sort of enforcement mechanism. It says, you know, don't advertise that you're selling cigarettes. Advertise that you're selling spins. And I don't know if any of you have ever heard that term. I have not. But they also told their manufacturers that, you know, when you ring it up at the machine, don't ring up cigarettes. Ring up the tobacco and the paper separately, not even though what they're charging out are the manufactured cigarettes. And so you can look through that do's and don'ts, but it's sort of clear that there's some gamesmanship coming from the industry on this thing, and this just simply puts everybody on the same playing field. We can move forward without the state having to seize these things as contraband, and everybody can move merrily about their way. So I'd urge your aye vote on the bill, and take any questions you may have.
Chairman Illaway.
Just looking to see if there's any questions.
Question being called.
Just a second.
Representative Croker, you keep hiding back there.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to briefly give the other side of the argument so you can hear what it is. I was one of two no votes on the committee. My issue with this, why I'm hesitant to support it, I'm sorry, one of three no votes on the committee, is because right now you can go to the store legally, buy loose leaf tobacco, buy your own paper, take it home, and roll a cigarette, and that's legal. You can do the same thing, take it home, and use a machine to roll the cigarette for you. But now we're saying if you rent a machine to do that rolling for you, we're going to add a whole bunch of tax to it. So it almost strikes me as us trying to find a loophole to collect more taxes rather than them finding a loophole to beat the system. So I'm just hesitant to impose that new tax.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just an observation. As a youth, I used to carry a package in my pocket and some papers in the other pocket, and I learned how to roll my own, and now I'm being put out of business by an automation, and it's the way of the times. I would discourage you from smoking cigarettes.
Chairman Illaway.
Well, you could still roll your own at home. You could still take it. You can still have the little machine, or you can take them home and roll them at home. What this is a machine, size of maybe a jukebox or something, cost, I don't know, $12,000 to $35,000, that you would put into an establishment and roll. You can roll a carton of cigarettes in about 20 minutes. We aren't asking to ban the machines. We're asking if the Wyoming legislature makes it clear that owners of roll-your-own cigarette manufacturing machines follow the same rules that any other cigarette manufacturer must follow. And it clarifies for the Department of Revenue what is already enforced, but not quite as clear as it should be in Wyoming law, that when you make cigarettes, you're a manufacturer. So if there's any other questions, we'd be glad to answer them or call for the question.
Question being called for. All those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 83 do pass. Say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Senate File 83 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 49. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 49, introduced by Senator Emmerich, an act relating to the term for Youth Board of Agriculture members. This file was sent to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, Public State and Public Lands and Water Resources, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Muniz. No. Camel, Davison, Semlek, Zwanzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Semlek?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 49 do pass. There is a standing committee amendment. I will move that standing committee amendment number 1 at this time. You'll find it in Section 3 on page 2. It just changes the effective date of the act should it pass. I will turn the explanation over of the Senate file over to the good representative from House District 2 to explain the bill.
Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 49 simply is an issue of changing the length of terms for youth members of the state's Board of Agriculture from 6 years to 4. And the reason for this is that all members on this board currently serve 6-year terms. And in, I believe it was 2007, this legislature authorized that there be 4 youth members added to the board, and they come from the 4 quadrants, if you will, 4 sectors of the state. And there's been an issue since then of those youth members who are, by the way, between the ages of 18 and 30 years old, having to step down, resign, for reasons related to they get married, they have kids, whatever the problem may be. The point being that at that point in your life, there's a lot going on, and it's kind of difficult for them to serve out a full 6-year term. So what this simply does is changes it from a 6-year term to a 4-year term for those youth members. Now, there are already exemptions for the youth members where they don't need to, they don't have to meet the qualifications of the balance of being Republican or Democratic members. And once again, also, they come from 4 districts across the state rather than 6. So anyway, excuse me. And also the reason for changing this to an act that would be effective immediately rather than on the 1st of July is that there apparently are two youth members who have resigned recently, and there are 2 nominees in waiting. And so this just simplifies that process for them and would allow them to be considered 4-year members rather than 6 if we were to delay enacting this legislation. So anyway, if we're on standing committee amendment number 1, and that is simply changing the date to immediately, so if there are no questions, I would call for the question on the standing committee amendment.
Question having been called, we are on standing committee number 1 to Senate File 49. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. Standing Committee number 1 to House Bill 49 has been Senate File 49 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 49 do pass, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 18. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 18, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to reimbursement for livestock. This file was sent to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Camel, Davison, Eklund, Hunt, Laux, Moniz, Semlek, Zwanzer, Dan, Sein, Representative Semlek, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Semlek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 18 do pass. It does have a standing committee amendment, Mr. Chairman, which I will move at this time. There are technical corrections of misspelling of a word, leaving out a word, and changing the reporting date, which I think are pretty insignificant. I don't think you really need to have the bill explained to know that to understand what the standing committee amendment does. So, Mr. Chairman, I would call for the question on the standing committee amendment.
Standing committee number 1, Senate File 18 has been adopted. We are back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, I would turn over the explanation of Senate File 18 to our good representative from House District 20.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill before you provides reimbursement to livestock producers that have been removed, been ordered to be disposed of by the stock, that has been ordered to have their stock removed by the state veterinarian for scrapie, brucellosis, or tuberculosis, and disposal means to kill, slaughter, sell, or destroy the animal. This bill provides a reimbursement program to help livestock producers with that loss. There's no new money in it. The money was already appropriated last year, and the state vet will recommend indemnity payments only if there is money from the in the federal sources or state sources. From 2010 to 2011, 136 brucellosis reactors were required to be removed from the highest, and that's the highest since 1985. Mostly, these diseases were contracted from wildlife. Yeah, since 2004, over 240 brucellosis reactors have been removed from five individual herds. This bill is pretty important. I think that when you think about it, just from my own experience several years ago in the 80s, we got brucellosis in our herd from buying stock from a neighboring state. And we were under quarantine for 2 years, and during that 2 years, we had to have a vet come and check, the state vet come and check them. And it took, after 2 years, we got out of the quarantine, but we never quite recovered. So this bill is very important to help the stockholders that have this happen in their herd. So I'd appreciate an aye vote on this bill. Thank you.
Question. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Simlek's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 18 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Senate File 18 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 82. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 82, introduced by Senator Burns, an act relating to banks and banking regarding ATM fees. This file was sent to Corporations and Elections and Political Subdivisions, number 7, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Blickery, Illaway, Yagi, Croker, Patton, Roscoe, Stubson. No, Bird, Zwanzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Illaway, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, we do so with the recommendation that Senate File 82 do pass, and the representative from House District 27 will explain this lengthy bill.
Representative Greer.
Mr. Chairman, just notice I don't get the good representative from House District 27. I understand. Last year, came before you with this bill to remove the caps from ATMs. And I put it to you in terms of, hey, this bill is here to foster free enterprise, the market system, and reduce government. Well, we were wrong. Because while we removed the caps in our legislation last year, we left this in. A transaction fee may be imposed per transaction as established by rules and regulations of the commissioner. So we didn't quite achieve our goal of letting the free enterprise system get there. What was then discovered this summer is, for various reasons, that this matter of investigating what the fees should be and regulating them was sort of put to the back burner for various reasons. This bill has now come up to say we don't need any regulation at all on this, to go ahead and let the free market dictate this. One of the things I want to point out on ATMs is we still have the requirements for the disclaimer. Anybody engaging in one of these transactions still has the ability to back out. They still have full disclosure on what the fees and the transactions are. Another point to make is that these transactions, or this cap, this rule, this state statute, does not apply to national banks. It's only to state banks and the private individuals in Wyoming that have these ATMs distributed. It is my understanding that presently the national banks all go ahead and follow this rule. What this comes about is simply the fact that the Wyoming, being a rural state, with these fees in place, are going to artificially decrease the amount of ATMs that are available. What we bring this bill today simply saying, let's remove this. I can tell you the agency overseeing this is in favor of this, and I would ask for everyone's favorable consideration, and I'll take any questions and answer them to the extent I can.
Representative Zawanasir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to give you the other side of the debate here, and you will all remember the lengthy discussion we had last year on this bill, at which time we made what I would call a consensus agreement that we would let it be handled by rules and regs, and the Banking Commission could decide what they want to set the rate at. And basically what we heard in committee was the Banking Commission didn't have what we like to call the intestinal fortitude to actually do that. So they're in favor of us just coming back and taking it off and not actually fulfilling what we asked them to do last year. And I don't think that's a really good way to set policy. When we ask an agency to do something, we expect them to do it, not to say, oh, we don't really have the political will, and we talked with a certain their boss's boss, if you will, and he said, maybe you don't really need to do that. Just try to take it off altogether in the legislature. And, you know, regardless of this issue or any other issue, I think when we ask someone to do something and we say do it by rules and regs, we expect it to be done, not for them to come back to the legislature a year later in the same session and say, we didn't really feel like it. Why don't you just take it off all around? So there's the other side of the argument. Obviously, didn't win that argument in committee either, but I just wanted to make sure the body was aware. Thanks.
Do I hear the question? Question having been called, all those in favor of Chairman Illaway's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 82 do pass, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
Senate File 82 has failed to to pass the committee of the whole. Division being called. All those in favor, stand up. Senate File 82 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Representative and Majority Floor Leader Lubnow.
Thank you. In the incredible saga of the bouncing Senate File 78, if you would now move Senate File 78 up between Senate File 99 and 57...
All right, the next, so far, file for our consideration is Senate File 24. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 24, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to civil procedure regarding property exempt from execution. This file was sent to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Barbuto, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne, signed representing Brown, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Brown?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 24 do pass, and I would turn the explanation over to the representative from District 48.
Representative Barbuto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 24, there are really two parts of this that we're going to discuss today. The first is that in cases of bankruptcy, for instance, there are certain things that are considered exempt from execution. An attachment. This bill goes and updates the dollar amounts that are associated with those exemptions, as they haven't been updated for quite some time. And then in other sections, it clarifies the language to provide a little more guidance when dealing with these statutes. So, if you'll look through the bill with me here, first in 12101, we have the homestead exemption. This is the dollar amount a person would be allowed for their homestead, and we have increased that from $10,000 to $20,000 in value. Section 12104, we clarified language here. You can see what the stricken language was somewhat confusing. So during the interim, the Judiciary Committee updated that language that the homestead may consist of a house on a lot or lots or other lands of any number of acres, and then a house, trailer, other movable home on a lot or lots, whether or not the house, trailer, or other movable item is equipped with wheels or resting upon an immovable support. And then we deleted the value amount there. The next section is wearing apparel. Previously, that allowed amount was $1,000. That's been updated to $2,000. In 12106, exemption from other personal property. If you look at Romanet 3, it's talking about furniture, bedding, things like that that might appear in a home. That's been updated from $2,000 to $4,000. Romanet 4, the value in a motor vehicle, we changed that language to make it a little more clear. The value in a motor vehicle from $2,400 to $5,000. Section B of 12106, the tools or implements or stock in trade of any person, a person who's carrying on that work, they can keep those tools and equipment in the amount of $4,000. That's changed from $2,000. And then just if you'll turn the next page here, it's or the library instruments and implements of any professional person, we've increased that from not exceeding in value $2,000 to $4,000. Then down here in 12110, this is more clarifying language. Romanet 3, any retirement or annuity fund of any person was exempt from execution, attachment, garnishment, or any other process issued by the court. Just to clarify for some of the attorneys handling these cases, we've added the language, including individual retirement accounts, Roth individual retirement accounts, and simplified employee pension individual retirement accounts. And that is the bill. Just an update of some numbers and some language, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 24 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
Senate File 24 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 99. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 99, introduced by Senator Nicholas. An act relating to children regarding guardian ad litem program. This file was sent to number committee 1, Judiciary, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Brechtel, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Peasley, Throne. Signed, Representative Brown, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Brown?
Mr. Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File Number 99 do pass, and I would turn the explanation of the bill over to the representative from District 23.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before I get to the bill, I'll actually deal with the Committee of the Whole Amendment. I'll move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. All this is doing, there was a technical problem. In the last page of the bill, it says House Bill 1, and it's actually Senate File 1. They just had the wrong one.
We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1. Question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The amendment has been the Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This looks like a complicated bill, but it's actually a pretty simplistic bill. Here's what happened. Prior to 2005, guardian ad litems would have been completely handled by the county. The county would have paid for everything, and the state really had no role. Then in 2005, we passed a session law, just in a budget bill, so it was in a budget bill in 2005, that the state would take over the program and counties would contribute 25%, but the state would pay 75%, and the program would be run by the Supreme Court. Then in 2008, the Supreme Court came back, and they had some issues with continuing to run this program, and they asked if it could be moved to an executive branch department. And so in 2008, we moved the entire program from the Supreme Court to the Public Defender's Office. That was in 08. Here's the problem. When we did it in 05 to the Supreme Court, and we did it in 08 where we moved it to the Public Defender's Office, we did all of this through budget amendments. When you do things in budget amendments, all it does, it appears in the session laws, but it doesn't actually show up in the green books, in the statutes. So this program, as written in this bill, already exists. All we're doing is taking it out of the session laws and codifying it into the green books, into the statutes. Except, at the very end, they added that, and it's multiple pages there, but essentially what all those pages are doing is that when a person is working as a guardian ad litem, that they will be considered an employee for purposes of the Governmental Claims Act. And just to remind you what a guardian ad litem does, they are appointed by the court to represent a child in a child protection case, a child in need of supervision case, a delinquency case, and a termination of parental rights actions. And so these guardian ad litems have to be appointed. How this, just so you know how the program works, the state, through the Public Defender's Office, contracts with attorneys in everybody's county, and they contract directly with them, and they pay them. The counties then, at the end of the year, whatever the bill came to, the county sends 25% of whatever that value was. and that's essentially the whole bill. It's essentially codifying what we did originally in 05 and then again in 08, taking it out of the session laws, putting it into the statutes, and then also adding that the Governmental Claims Act part.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Brown's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, if do so with a recommendation that Senate File 99 do pass, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Senate File 99 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 78. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 78, introduced by Senator Johnson, an act relating to education, interstate compact on students of military families. This file was sent to Committee Number 4, Education, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Lox, Madden, Teeters. Signed, representing Teeters, Chairman. The bill was then sent to Appropriations, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Hoshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House or Senate File 78 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I will turn the floor over to the bill sponsor.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This bill we saw a year ago, it passed out of this body handily, went over to the other body down the hall, passed out of their committee and stopped because there were some problems with some constitutional questions. So we came back this year, took care of the constitutional problems. It passed out of the body down the hall, and here we have it. This bill would make Wyoming a member state of the Interstate Compact on Students of Military Families. The purpose of the compact is to remove barriers to educational success imposed on children of military families because of frequent moves and deployment of their parents. Military families encounter significant school challenges when dealing with enrollment, eligibility, placement, and graduation of their children due to frequent relocations in their course of the service. Most military children will move 6 to 9 different times during their kindergarten to 12th grade experience. I can go through the bill, but I think I can just summarize it fairly well. The compact applies to the children of active duty members of the uniformed services, including members of the National Guard and Reserve on active duty orders. It also applies to members or veterans of the uniformed services who are severely injured and medically discharged or retired for a period of 1 year after medical discharge or retirement. And it applies to members of the uniformed services who die on active duty or as a result of injuries sustained on active duty for a period of 1 year after death. It does not apply to children of inactive members of the National Guard and military reserves. It does not apply to children of members of uniformed services now retired, not covered above. It does not apply to children of veterans of the uniformed services not covered. And it does not apply to other U.S. Department of Defense personnel and other federal agency, civilian, and contract employees not defined as active duty members of the uniformed services. We went through with the bill, and we took a look at the summary of revisions that we felt we needed to make to the compact. And as many of you will remember, compacts are those statutes within other states where every state is similar. Well, so far, 40 states or more have adopted this particular statute. One of the real problems that occurred was that when they wrote the compact, they said only 10 states had to be to adopt it for it to be active. That's a little bit tight, and that's what has caused us some problems because we didn't quite get in on taking a look at some of the problems. Anyway, with the help of staff attorneys and others, we took care of the various problems that were in the original bill, which referred to age of attendance, their graduation, immunization, sovereign immunity and governmental claims act, inappropriate delegation of legislative authority, and so forth. We think that we have taken care of all the problems. The compact folks back in the Midwest have agreed that the bill is in good shape, and they are ready to welcome Wyoming into the compact states. I will tell you that there was an appropriation, and that's why it went to the Appropriations Committee. The appropriation is for $5,000. You won't find anything cheaper than that. It's appropriated $5,000 from the general fund to the Department of Education. The appropriation shall be for the period beginning the effective date, which is July 1, and ending June 30, 2014. It will only be expended for the purposes of administering this act, and that means what they've done with the compact is charged the states about a dollar per military child and with a minimum of $2,000. And there are slightly over, I think it may be 3,000 military children that this would apply to. Also, the remainder of that $5,000 would be used to attend one meeting a year on the compact. So if there are no questions, I'd call for the question. If there are questions, I'll try to answer them.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have one question. I noticed that one of the exemption was National Guard families, and it just seems like if one parent is being deployed, that we may be not allowing the other parent to move to places where perhaps there's more family support while their spouse is deployed. And just the question is why remove National Guard that are deployed?
Representative Elway?
I think the question, you might not have heard how it applies. The compact applies to the children of active duty members of the uniformed services, including members of the National Guard and Reserve on active duty orders. And it does not apply to children of inactive members of the National Guard and military reserve. So I think they're all covered.
Do I have a question?
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 78 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Senate File 78 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 57. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 57, introduced by the Education Committee. An act relating to the Wyoming Accountability in Education Act. This file was sent to Committee Number 4, Education, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters, signed representing Teeters, Chairman. The file was further sent to the Appropriation Committee, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobel, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, signed representing Berger, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 57 do pass, and I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a handout in your inbox that really, when we want to drill down on the specifics of what this legislation does, will give you the best explanation. Last year in this legislature, in response to flatline test scores and poor national comparators, we took a strong stand on accountability for our schools. Wyoming ranks first or second in nearly every category in education funding. Teacher salaries are second highest in the nation. Our spending per pupil is the second highest in the nation. We are the only state to fully fund special education services for children with special needs. We made education an important priority, and I'm proud of the work we've done on our school finance model. We funded small class sizes. We provided resources for certified teachers to serve as tutors in our schools. We fund instructional facilitators, teachers, coaches, to work with their peers and improve classroom instruction. Yet, test scores indicate that Wyoming student performance is no better than average, and worse than that in some instances. So last year, we mandated the development of an accountability system for our schools. An accountability system is really an information system. We provide measures of students, schools, and districts, and we trust that the citizens of our communities will care enough to review the results. An informed public can then act to applaud performances when it is there and demand improvement when it is needed. And so we went to work in the interim to begin the creation of an accountability system for our schools. An advisory panel of educators, one business person, and a representative of the governor's office met monthly to help guide the work of the select committee. We hired some top talent to help lead this discussion, and these individuals insisted that we develop a Wyoming approach to accountability. This was hard work, the kind of details that lay an important foundation, but it's just plain hard work to bring it all together. Senate File 57, Education Accountability, is the result of monthly meetings of your select committee. Important goals for our state are included in the bill. For Wyoming to become a national leader in education, to ensure that all students leaving Wyoming schools are ready for careers or college, to recognize student growth and increase that growth, to maximize the efficiency of the Wyoming education, and to increase credibility and support for our schools. We wrestled with how to narrow the components and yet be open to factors of fairness when it comes to evaluating our schools. So here are the key components that we settled on. Achievement: are our students proficient in meeting state standards? Readiness: student indicators that tell us how our schools are doing as a rate of success. And growth: giving schools and districts credit for that student who may not be proficient, but might be learning, but the rate at which he is learning, to show that improvement and give them credit for that growth. Equity: how are we doing with our low performing and at risk students? And finally, inclusion: does our system make sure that a student educated for a full year in one school gets counted at the end of that year? The core element of any accountability system is defining which assessments that we use. The bill relies on state summative assessment required by the federal government. That is our PAWS test. The committee heard testimony on PAWS. I think we still are going to have chances to improve PAWS, but for now it is the best test that we have. But as we also wanted a national comparator, we have adopted the ACT for our high school students, something more meaningful to our students, I believe, and hopefully they will be motivated to perform well on that test. So as we blended these many pieces that are already in place, we brought them together in a way that I believe can build a strong accountability system. When we started this process a year ago, we were already funding an assessment system, PAWS, that tests reading, writing, and math in grades 3 through 8 and grade 11. We started funding the ACT for high school juniors several years ago. We have provided funding for 8th grade students to take the Explore test. Our school finance system already relies on a sophisticated collection of students, school, and teacher data, and we fund that too. So while we wanted to construct a strong, reliable accountability system, we did not want to create a whole lot of new testing, new data collection, or new work. I believe we succeeded. Important data already being collected will be assembled to paint a picture of how our schools and districts are based on the items that I just shared. We have built a system to inform the public on the items they have told us that are important. But as we arrive here, we are hearing some accusations of too much testing. I believe that's not true. Through the committee amendments and other amendments to come that you will see us bring to the floor, we will reduce testing time and even out the testing burden among our students. at this point, I could walk us through all the details of this. And I know it's extremely time-consuming to do that. And so I think the best thing we can do, folks, is look at this handout that I've given you. If you have specific questions about why the committee chose to go the direction they did on any of these points, I'd be happy to share that methodology or those decisions. But this provides a really good roadmap. And at this point, I think I'd stand for questions.
Question being called on the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 57. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 57 say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 57 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Yes, we do. Chairman, who's going to... Okay. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 57 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, on page 22, there is a paragraph 4. What the Standing Committee Amendment does is make this paragraph cleaner. In all honesty, we could not figure out quickly enough in the Standing Committee how to do that. And with some help of LSO, we've done it now. As it stands right now, this paragraph does two very distinct things. It has school districts implement the accountability assessment system, as well as maintain their own graduation requirements. What this change does is make those two obligations much clearer. And if I'll take any questions, and if not, I ask for your favorable consideration.
Do I hear the question? Question being called. We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 57. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 has passed. We are back on the bill. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the adoption of Committee of the Whole Number 2. I know I'm not supposed to say anything about the other body, but they did not act on the House Bill 95, which is now combined in this, stating that if we could amend the thrust of this exemption for schools designated as exceeding expectations into this bill, as opposed to having it as a separate measure. And so with that, this body has already stated its support of this, so I stand for any questions, but move the adoption of the amendment.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also would urge your adoption of the amendment. This is the bill or the legislation that we considered that said if you're meeting or exceeding expectations, that you will not be held to the 16-to-1 ratio, and that was the intention from the very beginning. So I would urge your aye vote.
Question being called. We are on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2 to Senate File 57. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 57 has passed Committee of the Whole. We are back on the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Throne.
I'd like to move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 57, and I'd ask for your favorable consideration. This is somewhat of a cleanup Committee of the Whole Amendment. I think some of the changes that were made late in the hour, as I understand it, are good Committee Number 4. Made some changes to the writing assessment that I think were inconsistent with what we did last year in Senate File 70.
And also inconsistent with the work we did this summer, so we're trying to get it back to where we were. And I'm not going to walk through all of this, but if you look at the bill on page 38, we're putting and back in all through that subsection B. The primary substantive change on this page is at line 14 of the bill. The Standing Committee amendment deleted the word separate, and we are putting it back in. Because last year, one of the key decisions we made about the writing assessment was to keep it separate from the reading and math test, so that the reading and math tests could be evaluated on their own, and also to avoid the issue of test fatigue. So that is leaving separate in is consistent with what we did last year in Senate File 70 and consistent with the discussions that we made over the summer in the Select Committee. On line 16, I am leaving in the Standing Committee amendment that deleted one day for the writing assessment, because the writing assessment has been increased to 3 hours, so I think breaking that into 2 days is, or however many days, is appropriate. Finally, going to page 39, again, trying to get the bill back to the writing assessment piece back to what we intended with Senate File 70, is that for the year 2012-2013, the writing assessment will be administered as we had intended with the Senate File 70 that we adopted last year, rather than to continue, as I understand it, field testing for another year, 2012-2013, field testing writing and not really having a real writing test in 2012-13. So with that, I'd be happy to answer questions.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I apologize, I'm having a little trouble tracking all this. But I think what I would prefer we do is, I hate to do this to you, but I would prefer that we bring these back on second reading as individual amendments, because I'm really having difficulty tracking all the parts.
Representative Throne?
I believe that the good chairman is asking that I withdraw the amendment. Am I correct?
Representative Teeters, or Chairman Teeters.
I think that would be best, and I apologize. There's a lot of moving parts in the Standing Committee amendment. We had 12 different amendments, and I was in a meeting previously and didn't have time to track this. So I think if you could withdraw it and let me work with you on second reading.
Mr. Chairman, that's fine. In fact, I almost did that myself before I started for the same reason.
Thank you.
Okay. Representative Throne. Representative Throne, would you like to withdraw that amendment at this point?
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 to Senate File 57.
Thank you. Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 3 has been withdrawn. We are back on the bill. Do I hear the question? Question.
Chairman.
Oh, sorry, Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like the good chairman of education to explain if there are any major differences between the original bill that came out of the committee and this engrossed version that came over to our body. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Madam Chairman, or Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Teeters.
I'm sorry, Madam Chairman, would you please explain to me if you'd like to know the difference between the when the bill came across as the engrossed version from the original version or the way the bill changed with the 12 standing committee amendments from the standing committee?
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to know the major differences between the original version as it came out of your committee and the engrossed version right now. Thank you.
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We allowed for the ACT test, Mr. Chairman, in the 11th grade. It will be replacing the POS test. And what we changed was the body across the hall had the provision that if you were not college ready in the 11th grade, that you were mandated to take the ACT or the Compass test. No, you were mandated to take the ACT test. If you were college ready at the 11th grade, that you were required to take the Compass test. The change we made last night in the standing committee says that if you are college ready in the 11th grade, you do not have to take either one. But if you are not, that you have to retake the ACT. And it left the Compass as an option. That was one change we made. We also eliminated the interim benchmark adaptive test in grades 3 through 8 so that there will be only two benchmark adaptive assessments given each grade level. We also eliminated all of the benchmark adaptive testing in kindergarten through second grade. Those were the primary big changes that we made. A lot of technical changes. We moved some language that was currently going to be codified into the session law so that we would not codify the goals of the accountability system. And other than that, there were a lot of technical changes. That's the substance of the standing committee amendments.
Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Teeters, somebody had told me that you guys had ventured off on a place that I'd like to have seen you gone, and that was kind of adapting your own dropout rate procedure to measure how we measure dropouts and not use what No Child Left Behind is using. Is that correct? And if so, could you explain it?
Chairman Teeters.
Thank you. I believe that will actually be studied in Phase 2. And so we didn't finalize that, but it is something that you and I were interested in previously and that we will continue to look at.
Representative Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is the average student in the state of Wyoming, are they going to be required to do more testing this year or upcoming years than they were in previous years? And I can't quite get a clear thing because there's so many amendments coming in and out of this. There's so many changes. I wonder if the thing's ready for prime time, but if you could just let me know, are we going to be doing more testing or less?
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, these bills are never perfect, and in a bill that's this complicated and as much work has gone into it, there's always room for suggestion. But if I could like to refer you back to this handout that I've given you, gives you a very clear delineation of the amount of testing that were required. Currently, the benchmark adaptive tests that are being given in the district are not mandated by the state. And so we are mandating that they do that. That will not affect the amount of testing being done. And so my belief, depends on who you talk to, but my belief is that the amount of testing that we will be doing, also because we're timing pause, will actually be less.
Do I hear the question? Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Not really having an opportunity to study this as thoroughly as I will over the weekend. Just help me out. The one complaint that I have received is the number of tests that are now going to be statutorily presented. And the thought was it wasn't the purpose of the test, but rather the number of the tests. that perhaps if you could have the four tests done so that there wouldn't be eight, in other words, you wouldn't have such a vast number of them. Can you help us out with an explanation on that testing process?
Representative Teeters.
Thank you. I think in the process of building a comprehensive, robust system of accountability, we need multiple data points. And so I think the testing that we're mandating, some of it, like I said previously, is already being conducted. But we're adding very little. And I think the bottom line is that people need to understand that the total amount of instruction time that will be taken for testing, my goal is, at the end of this process, that it be less, and I believe that is where we have arrived. We have to have multiple measures to have a good accountability system. And the ACT suite that we introduced in the high school level prepares students for that ACT test that they're going to take in the 11th grade, but also gives us data points for our accountability systems. I view it as a positive thing, and I think it's a reasoned amount of testing. If anyone here has suggestions as to how we improve that, of course, that this is our process. So,
question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 57 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Senate File 57 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 34. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 34, introduced by the Labor Committee, an act relating to administration and government regarding Medicaid options study. This file was sent to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Kraft, Gay, Green, Harvey, Miller, Peasley, Reeder, No, Gingrey, signed representing Harvey Chairman. The file was then sent to the Appropriation Committee, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobar, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 34 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the standing committee amendments and will refer the explanation of both to Representative Barbudo, the good representative from the southwest part of the state. And I'm not sure there is a standing committee amendment. There is. Okay. I'm sorry, I just don't have it with me.
Representative?
I'll make sure that he gets it.
Representative Hardy, would you like to move that standing committee amendment?
I further move the adoption of the standing committee amendment.
Thank you. Representative Barbudo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I have a copy of the standing committee amendment here. And I think to explain the bill easier, I'll just explain a little bit about that amendment first. In the original bill, if you look, this is a result of some of the interim work this committee did. You'll see on the second page is lines 7 through 10 that the governor shall designate a study oversight entity. The feeling of the committee was that this study would be best conducted by the Department of Health. So you can see in the amendment we removed that language, lines 7 and 10, and then at the bottom on line 10 inserted, the Department of Health shall conduct a study. So to make that uniform with the rest of the bill, if you look through there, you'll see places throughout where the oversight entity is mentioned. In all those situations, we've struck that language out and inserted Department of Health. The other part of the amendment is that on page 7, lines 13 through 16, if you find that, in your bill, we've just removed that language completely, and I'll tell you why. It says here, upon issuing a request for proposals, an RFP. Well, actually, at the beginning of the bill, if you look, it says that in this particular case, because some of the time issues and urgency of the situation, the Department of Health will actually be exempt from the RFP process. So that language on page 7, lines 13 through 16, isn't necessary. So before I explain the rest of the bill, I think I'd call for the question on the standing committee amendment.
We're back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, as the title suggests, Medicaid option studies. We all know what a large percentage of our budget Medicaid is. It's a Goliath of a figure for the state of Wyoming. And now with the the Health Care Reform Acts that passed recently on the federal level, we want to see how those relate to state Medicaid as well. So I'm going to go section by section. I'll try and be brief and concise as possible. So if you look at Section 1, the study is going to analyze the cost drivers and other areas in the Medicaid program that might benefit from redesign, and then evaluate the design of Medicaid programs mandated by the Health Care Reform Acts that recently passed. Part B of Section 1 is the department will contract this job out to experts and consultants in these areas. And as I mentioned before, the Department of Health will not be required to go through the usual RFP process. They'll be allowed to just get this going right away. Section C, here's where we talk about the things the study shall do. First and foremost, examine the Medicaid state plan that provides health care paid by the state and federal government and determine the annual costs of benefits per person. And then those costs will be broken down by the federal share, the state share, client share, and then other costs that are part of each program. Romanet 2 under C, the study will study physical, dental, and mental health programs and the benefits and costs of each of the benefits under those programs. Romanet 3, the total appropriations necessary to support all these programs through the 2019-2020 biennium. Romanet 4 is after identifying which areas would benefit from redesign and after we've identified what's mandated by the Health Care Reform Acts. The study will evaluate possible redesigns and reconfigurations for those programs. And some of the possible, here underneath the section, you'll see some of those possible options are to include innovative service delivery systems and models, alternative financing mechanisms, establishment of insurance models for specific segments of the Medicaid population, establishment of managed Medicaid models, establishment of innovative programs similar to those developed in other states, block grants, and then voucher systems. Here in Romanet 5, the study will separately identify other anticipated costs to each program affected by proposed coverage limit changes in the Health Care Reform Acts, and we can use the consultants, the contractors who are conducting the study may use other studies performed on this issue to come to their conclusions. Romanet 6, the study shall include recommendations in methods to obtain eligibility and participation information, recommendations on how to track and analyze utilization rates. See there is other recommendations on how to realize cost savings. Romanet 7, the study will discuss home and community-based Medicaid waivers and should include identification of cost drivers there, whether our state could impose co-payments on recipients of the Children's DD waiver, that's developmental disability waiver, identify waiver wraparound service costs, and then any identified cost savings in the waiver programs and methods used in other states. Part D, the Department of Health and contractors will expect that this study should be used to assist the executive branch and the legislative budget office in making budget estimates for the cost of Medicaid reconfiguration, to help develop an application for a waiver covering all or part of the new eligible population. The waiver's purpose would be to reduce the cost of eligibility expansion by utilizing cost control techniques. The Department of Health will present a preliminary report to the Labor Health Interim Committee by June 1st, 2012, a second on October 1st, 2012, and the complete report by December 1st, 2012, unless the governor requests an earlier completion date. The Labor Health Committee, augmented by 4 members from the Appropriations Committee, 2 from the Senate, 2 from the House, to be appointed by the President of the Senate and the Speaker, will advise the Governor and Department of Health on the design and breadth of study and on a mid-study revision. The study will be available on the Internet for the public to look at and review. Members of the Augmented Health Labor Committee will be paid salary and per diem and, of course, mileage for the time they spend on this committee. Now we're down to Section 2. Chapter 193 of the 2011 Wyoming Session Laws is repealed. That's the previous Medicaid cost study. Section 3 deals with some of the funding issues. Funds remaining from appropriations in Chapter 161, Section 3A of the 2011 Session Laws, that is the Department of Health reorganization. The funds that are left over that will be reappropriated to the Department of Health to conduct this study, and any of those funds that aren't used will revert back on June 30th, 2013. If you look at Section B under Section 3, the reappropriated funds, we have $100,000 to the governor's office for the purpose of conducting the study and presenting the report, and those funds cannot be used for any other purpose but this. And then Romanet 2, $20,000 to the LSO for salary, per diem, and mileage. And, of course, there again, unused funds will revert back. And then Section 4 is just the enacting information, or the, excuse me, the effective information. This act would be effective immediately upon completion. So with that, I'll stand for some questions maybe, perhaps, and deflect some others.
Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have some questions. I'd like to know the extent to which the Medicaid option study was accomplished last year. We're redoing this all over again, and I'd like to know at this point in time what the unexpended, unobligated funds are that are remaining. Just seems to me like we did this last year. I'm not sure why it wasn't done and why we're doing it again. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Barbuto.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Actually, I'm drawing a blank. I'm not sure what the unobligated funds left are, so maybe I could defer that to a member of the Labor Committee to tell us how much money that is.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The unobligated is $100,000. So it's $100,000 that's there, and then the new $100,000. So altogether, it's $200,000. I think this is a good bill. I think it's smart to be studying all our different options. Medicaid is costing us a lot of money, and we should find out if there's some other options out there. I was only no vote in committee, and I just wanted to explain that. I think there's some issues here that I just wanted to make sure everyone was aware of. If you look on page 2, line 17, a special precedence has been put in here. What it says is that they are not going to have to follow the procurement law of Wyoming. So the law will not apply, where in every other type of contract or RFP, we actually have a procurement policy where all people, whether Wyoming companies or outside of Wyoming, are eligible to put in a bid, or in this case it would be an RFP, to put in a proposal to be one of these consultants. And in this case, that's not going to happen. Instead, they'll be able to pick potentially an existing person that they might have some type of relationship with, or some other person maybe they've met. But they won't be going through the procurement policy. And I certainly understand why it got put in there. I just get nervous when we start making special exemptions. The reason it got put in there, it makes some sense. It's what happened last year. It takes a while to get through our procurement system. What they're saying is they won't have time to get the report done if they actually have to issue a proposal. The proposal would have to be out for 2 weeks, and then people would respond. So it would take maybe 6 weeks to get back from beginning to end, to get back responses from people. That's a concern, but I certainly get why they were put in there. I don't think anybody's doing anything nefarious. I think they had a legitimate reason. I just get nervous when we start doing exemptions of the law. The other concern I had was there's already $100,000 getting reverted, and then we're going to appropriate another $100,000, so altogether $200,000. I'm just concerned with, and maybe in appropriations when it got re-referred, that these questions got answered better. But in labor, there really wasn't an answer as to why $200,000, as to why they needed that much. Perhaps that is the amount, right amount, but I just thought there should be more explanation, and maybe someone from appropriations could explain why that 200 altogether is needed. And then my last question is just simply, we're going to be spending $20,000 to bring four appropriations members over onto labor to augment the committee. And so it's going to cost $20,000 to pay those four appropriations members. I just wanted to make sure that that the appropriations really wanted to do that, come to all our meetings and be there for this. It seemed to me they're going to turn in a report. They can turn in the report and we can all read it. I'm not sure if that they all needed to be present at every single meeting that we have. None of those are ones I'm falling on my sword over. Those were just questions of mine as to the augmentation of the committee by four appropriations committee members, the question as to why 200,000, and then lastly, should we be making this special exemption of exempting the Department of Health from following the law in regards to procurement?
Chairman Harvey. Chairman Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also had a question about, I noticed that last year we appropriated $20,000 also to our LSO office for expenses. Did that revert, or are we up to $40,000 now for these two pieces of session law? Thank you.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to take these questions out of order and answer the last question first. The $20,000 last year did revert. The $200,000 that is in this study is no new appropriation. It is two reversions. One is from the original Medicaid option study. The second one is, and the session law is cited in there, the second one is that we gave the Department of Health $100,000 for them to reorganize the Department of Health. They did not expend a nickel of that. And so they said, can we take that and revert it back into this study so that we can hire multiple small contractors to be able to conduct the work that we need and gather up the actuarial studies, which, by the way, are really expensive and hard to come by while everybody's working on the insurance exchanges. And so they don't really have a handle on what it's going to cost to get these studies done. But I do know that they plan on using multiple vendors in this process. And given their track record of reverting $200,000 out of last year's budget, I feel pretty confident that they're pretty tight-fisted and are going to be fiscally responsible with how they do this. The reason that we ask for the special exemption from the procurement is the aggressive dates that are in this bill. We are telling them that we want them to report to us three different times on their progress on the option study. And the reason that we did that is so that we could follow the progress that they are doing. That we want a legislative presence in these decision making process, even though there won't be final decisions made. We've also had members of appropriation that say they would like to know more about Medicaid. And so it just seems like it is such a perfect fit to have the appropriators as well as the policymakers in this area work together at solutions to try and figure out how are we going to contain the costs on Medicaid. And so that is as close as I can come to the explanation on the appropriation members. We did have one appropriation member attend one meeting last year. They were not noticed properly, and so it wasn't their fault, and I'll take responsibility for that. As a new chairman, I didn't know I needed to direct staff to also invite them. And let me explain that even though they would be invited to our committee meetings, that we would set aside one part of those committee meetings for this discussion, that they wouldn't have to stay for 2 or 3 days of committee meetings, that it would just be invited for the day of discussion of the Medicaid cost study. Certainly welcome to stay for the rest, but I think we might bore them a little. Just a thought. So with that, I would stand for any further questions.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 34 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. Senate File 34 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 52. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 52, introduced by Senator Rasmus. An act relating to reading, assessment, and intervention, dyslexia, screening, and response. This file was sent to Committee Number 4, Education, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters. No, Bechtel, Burkhart. Signed, Representative Teeters, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Teeters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 89 do pass. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendments. The bill will be explained. I'm sorry. Senate File 52. I move Senate File 52. And I further move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendments.
Thank you, Chairman Teeters. Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Friends, what I'd like to do is start with talking really briefly about the Standing Committee Amendment, then talk about the bill, and then move the Committee of the Whole Amendment. Thus, I move Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 52 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, what the Standing Committee Amendment does is broadens the language that's in the bill. There was a little bit of heartburn about this bill, and between the Standing Committee Amendment and the Committee of the Whole Amendment, we believe we've taken care of all of it. And so the Standing Committee Amendment, again, it broadens the language to assure that there is no misunderstanding regarding the intent and the purpose and the implementation of the bill, that there is no diagnosis of learning disabilities going on, that this is only pre-screening, and that we're not talking about standardized instruments or interventions. And so with that, I call for the question on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Question being called. All those in favor of Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to Senate File 52, say aye. All those opposed say no. Standing Committee number 1, amendment to Senate File 52 has passed. We are back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Currently, our statutes require that each school district design and implement a reading screening program somewhere between grades K and 3. What this bill does is require that within that reading screening program that there's pre-screening for dyslexia and other reading difficulties. The purpose of this is to catch difficulties before there's the need for special education, so that school districts and teachers can begin interventions right away without going through the enormous process of having a kid identified for needing special ed services. The amount, we heard wonderful testimony in committee between both parents as well as school superintendents about our newfound understanding about reading difficulties in the past 20 years and the possibility for interventions that are just incredible in terms of helping kids early on. And again, this can all be done very early and without the identification for special ed. So what this bill does is require that the Department of Ed identify an assessment instrument or two, and have teachers in grades K through 3 implement them, and then facilitate remediation with multi-tiered intervention when it's required. The districts then do a report, and the WDE is required to promulgate rules and regulations. And if I can, I'd like to move the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1, because that takes care of the last little bit of heartburn. There are folks all over the state that are very excited about this bill, and they want a part of it. And if you'll see on page 4, or at the Committee of the Whole Amendment, has us assure that stakeholders across the state are involved with the Department of Ed in promulgating these rules and regulations, so that we assure that teachers, that parents are all involved in that regulation process. And so with that, I'd like to move the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration.
Question being called on Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to Senate File 52 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Teeter's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise to report, it do so with a recommendation that Senate File 52 do pass, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Senate File 52 has passed the Committee of the Whole. By majority, Floor Leader Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Motion carries.
Reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg to leave to report as follows. Senate File 97, recommended do pass. Senate File 42, recommended do pass. Representative Gingrey moved that the Committee of the Whole rise and sit again. Senate File 58, amended. And further amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 83, recommended do pass. Senate File 49, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 18, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 82, recommended do pass. Senate File 24, recommended do pass. Senate File 99, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 78, recommended do pass. Senate File 57, amended, and further amended. Recommended do pass. Senate File 34, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 52, amended, and further amended, recommended do pass. Signed, Representative Byrd, Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Committee of the Whole report is adopted. We are at that order of business. Messages from the Senate.
Message 194, Mr. Speaker. The President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee Number 1 from the House on amendments to H. Bill 121. The Senate conferees are Senator Nicholas Chairman, Senator Bebout, Senator Ross. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 195. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 4, Ignition Interlock Program Fees, ayes 30, no 0, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 196, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 5, Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association Limitations, ayes 30, no 0, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 197, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 15, Insurance Surplus Lines, ayes 30, no 0, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 198, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 16, Insurance Code Revisions, ayes 30, no 0. Message 199, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 40, Optional Sales and Use Taxes, the House bill listed above, passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated, ayes 17, noes 13. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 200, concurrence requested, House Bill 150, House Bill 50, Insurance Fraud Prevention. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated, ayes 30, no 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Message 201, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated, House Bill 55, Perfection of Security Interests Titled Personal Property. Ayes 30, no 0, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 202, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 66, Industrial Siting Financial Resources. Ayes 30, no 0, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 203, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 72, Juvenile Detention Facility Placements, ayes 30, no 0, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 204, Mr. Speaker. The bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 88, DUI Penalties, ayes 26, noes 4, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 205, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 4, Registered Agents, Commercial Agent Registration. Ayes 17, noes 12, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 206. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 6. County Memorial Hospital District Staggered Terms. Ayes 29, no 0, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 207. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 32, Workers' Compensation Amendments. Ayes 29, no 0, excused 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 208. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 33, Department of Enterprise Technology Services. Ayes 25, noes 4, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 209, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 5, County Commissioners, removal of appointed board members. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bills listed above by the vote indicated. Aye 6, noes 23, excused 1. The Senate requests the House appointed Conference Committee Number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Dinah Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 210. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 5. The Senate conferees are Senator Case, Chairman, Senator Cole, Senator Cooper. Signed, Dinah Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 211. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 8. Ethanol tax credit. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bills listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 11, noes 18, excused 1. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Signed, Dinah Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 212, conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 8. The Senate conferees are Senator Schiffer, Chairman, Senator Meyer, Senator Jennings. Signed, Dinah Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 213. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 25, Public Records. The Senate failed to concur on the House amendments to the bills listed above by the vote indicated. Aye 6, noes 24. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Message 214. Conferees appointed. Mr. President, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 25. The Senate conferees are Senator Perkins, Chairman, Senator Hicks, Senator Rothfuss. Signed, Dinah Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. First message for our consideration is message number 181 on House Bill 9. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence of message number 181, which is original House Bill 9, Unemployment Insurance Compliance, and ask for your favorable aye. If you'll look on your list, it says on page 1, line 8, they changed creating to creating. And I think that was a good move. So I would urge your aye vote on this concurrence.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 9. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Flake.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds excused. Eklund. Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles excused, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller, Miller, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas excused, Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen, Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Ronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Miller? Miller? I'm about to close the vote. Miller excused. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate Amendments 2, House Bill 9. The next message for our consideration is message number 184 on House Bill 13. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message 184, House Bill 13. This added some additional information for a potential purchaser of the property besides being informed whether the wind estate's been severed or not. It would also require disclosure of the existence of a wind energy agreement, which was something that we defined in statute before. So it just enhances the information that's required to be provided by a seller to a buyer, and I would ask for your concurrence.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate Amendments to House Bill 13. A majority of the members elected to the House is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Licorice.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Rechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Edmonds excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles excused, Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt, Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller excused, Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas excused, Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Vronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate Amendments to House Bill 13. The next message for our consideration is message 189 on House Bill 25. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message number 189, changes to House Bill 25, and ask you to vote no. There are a number of changes in here that may or may not be acceptable that we'd like to talk to the other body about, but in particular, there's a date in here that's clearly wrong that we have already discussed. We can get it straightened out on conference committee. So I would ask you to vote no on concurrence so that we can go have a discussion with them and fix at least that one glitch. Please vote no.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate Amendments to House Bill 25. Majority of the members elected to the House is required. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbuto.
No.
Berger. Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Licorice.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Botten.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Childers.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison. Edmonds excused, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles excused, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller excused, Moniz.
No.
Nicholas excused, Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
No.
Peterson.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Korberg.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Roscoe.
No.
Simlick.
No.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne. Throne.
No.
Vronish.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan?
No.
Swanitzer Dave?
No.
Mr. Speaker?
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 56 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 25. The next message for consideration is message 199 on House Bill 40. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence on message number 199 to House Bill 40, and I urge your aye vote. Basically, what this amendment does, if you'll go starting on page 2, middle of the page, and then to the end, that is the amendment to the engrossed version. And basically what they're doing is saying they're tightening up the allowance for using it on maintenance or repairs on a roadway one time, a specifically defined section of public roadway. And then adding another section, 3916203, saying the tax shall be used in a specified amount for specific purposes authorized by the qualified electors. Urge your aye vote.
We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 40. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Lickry. Lickry.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Botten.
Aye.
Rechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison. Edmonds excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles excused. Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Lubnow.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
No.
Miller excused. Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas excused. Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Korberg.
No.
Reeder.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
No.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Vronish.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lickry, aye to no. Greer, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 47 aye, 9 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 40. The next message for our consideration is message 200 on House Bill 50. Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move concurrence with message number 200 on House Bill 50 and urge you to vote aye. A couple of changes were made to the bill. With one change, they took out the language that would allow investigation by any governmental agency established to detect and prevent fraud. We already have law enforcement in there. They couldn't figure out who else it could be. I couldn't either, so I really don't have a good reason to leave it in there. The other thing they did was limit investigations to criminal investigations under Title VI of the Wyoming Statutes, which is crimes and offenses. So neither one does any harm to the bill, and I would urge you to vote aye on concurrence.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 50. A majority of the elected members to the House is required. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Thornton.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davidson.
Aye.
Edmonds excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles excused, Greer, Green, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Illaway, Yagi, Kasparic, Croker, Crone, Lockhart, Laux, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller excused, Moniz, Nicholas, excused, Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Korberg,
no.
Reeder,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Roscoe, Simlick,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Vronish,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 2 no, 4 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 50.
Mr. Speaker.
Conference Committee on the concurrence on House Bill 25. Representative Stubson, Chair. Representatives Brown and Roscoe. Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, has anyone lost a letter opener?
That's a dangerous weapon. Be careful.
Or a weapon of mass
destruction. Looks like you can keep it. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, when I first came down here, it was kind of a common courtesy. If you were going to introduce an amendment that affected somebody's bill or a committee bill, you went and you talked to that person, told them what you were going to do so they could be expecting it and have a little more information gathered about what was going to transpire. And I would certainly appreciate it if we could maybe get back to that. I know we're a little late in the session, but there's sure been a lot of amendments popping out that people weren't expecting to see. And it has been a common courtesy.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Can I get a privilege of the floor, Mr. Speaker?
Please proceed.
Members of the 61st, if I could introduce you to four people in the North Gallery. The first is my mother. Yeah. And, oh, thank you. And all the way from Cheyenne. It's not very often. The other three, however, the first is my cousin Ben, who's there in the front row. He lives in Jackson, and he is down here today as he's installing artwork in the new Joint Forces Training Command. He's an artist up in Jackson, and he was one of the ones that was selected. So next time you're in the military headquarters, go check out his Sandhill Cranes. And then his parents from Colorado, Jim and Sal Roth.
Representative Kennedy.
Mr. Speaker, Chris
Please
George
proceed.
Is one of the interns, his grandfolks, is there with him up there, and the Richard and Charlotte Tarver from Douglas. They're right above us right here. Would you please stand up?
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 81 engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation to pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Barbudo, Brown, Kennedy, Green, Crone, Nicholas, Beasley, Throne, No, Brechtel, sign representing Brown, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 2, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobar, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, sign representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 26, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobar, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, sign representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 43, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobar, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, sign representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 59, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, No, Escobar, sign representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 71, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Escobar, Harshman, Pedersen, Wallace, No, Edmonds, Stewart, sign representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 87, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Edmonds, Escobar, Harshman, Pedersen, Stewart, Wallace, sign representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 107, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Berger, Escobar, Harshman, Stewart, Wallace, No, Edmonds, Pedersen, sign representing Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 90, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters, sign representing Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number four, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 94, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Brechtel, Burkhart, Connolly, Freeman, Croker, Crone, Laux, Madden, Teeters, sign representing Teeters, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 66, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Barbudo, Kraft, Gay, Gingrich, Green, Harvey, Miller, Beasley, Reeder, sign representing Harvey, Chairman.
We're at that order of business, reading and signing of enrolled acts. Reading clerk will read the
House Enrolled Act Number 9, being original House Bill 4, an act relating to the Department of Transportation funding.
I'm about to sign in rollback number 9, being original, House Bill number 4. I have so signed.
House and rollback number 10, being original, House Bill 5, an act relating to insurance, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign in rollback number 10, being original, House Bill 5. I have so signed.
House and rollback number 11, being original, House Bill number 15, an act relating to insurance, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I've signed and rolled Act number 11, being original House Bill 15. I have so signed.
House and rolled Act number 12, being original House Bill 16, an act relating to insurance, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I've signed and rolled Act number 12, being original House Bill 16. I have so signed.
House and rolled Act number 13, being original House Bill 55, an act relating to secured transactions, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
That's signed and rolled Act number 13, being original House Bill 55. I have so signed.
House and rolled Act number 14, being original House Bill 66, an act relating to industrial siting, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign in rollback number 14, being original House Bill 66. I have so signed.
House and rollback number 15, being original House Bill 72, an act relating to school districts, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign in rollback number 15, being original House Bill 72. I have so signed.
House and rolled Act number 16, being original House Bill number 88, an act relating to motor vehicles, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About signed and rolled Act number 16, being original House Bill 88. I have so signed.
Senate and rolled Act number 10, being original Senate file 10, an act relating to the military department, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
That's signed in rollback number 10, being original Senate file 10. I have so signed.
Passing Senate and rolled Act number 11, being original Senate file 30, an act relating to the Wyoming State Highway Patrol, Game and Fish Warden, Criminal Investigator Retained Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign in rollback number 11, being original Senate file 30. I've so signed.
Senate and rolled Act number 12, being original Senate file 35, an act relating to public funds, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign in rolled Act number 12, being original Senate file 35. I have so signed.
Senate and rolled Act number 13, being original Senate file 47, an act relating to water development projects, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign in rolled Act number 13, being original Senate file 47. I have so signed.
Senate and rolled Act number 14, being original Senate file 62, an act relating to licensing for electrical installations, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign in rolled Act number 14, being original Senate file 62. I have so signed.
Senate and rolled Act number 15, being original Senate file 84, an act relating to counties, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign and rolled Act number 15, being original Senate file 84. I have so signed.
Senate and rolled Act number 16, being original Senate file 86, an act relating to public health and safety being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
About to sign enrolled act number 16 being original Senate file 86. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to announce that the TRW committee, we're going to have our joint interim topic meeting in room H10 at 8:30 Monday morning.
I did that one. No, I did this one. Yeah. Conference Committee for Senate File 5 will be Representative Patton, Chair, Representative Byrd, and Botten. And conferees to the Conference Committee for House Bill 1 will be Berger, Chair, Representatives Pedersen, Wallace, Stewart, Escobel. Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee for concurrence on House Bill 121 will meet immediately upon adjournment in room 204, and following that, awesome. Your conference committee on House Bill 2 will meet in room 204.
Chairman Ilway. Yeah, go ahead and do that, and then I'll do some more appointments to conference committees.
Oh, okay. Well, Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Tuesday, March 6th at noon in House 18. That's where we meet all the time anyway. And we're going to talk about interim topics.
Chairman Korberg.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, is going to meet Tuesday, March 6th, 15 minutes after adjournment, in room H17, and we'll have a joint committee meeting on interim topics. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet Tuesday, March 6th, upon adjournment in room 302 with our light committee on from the Senate side to discuss interim topics.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee chairs are like sheep. When one moves, they all move. And I'd like to announce that the Joint Minerals Committee will meet on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock, H18, to consider interim topics.
Chairman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Judiciary Committee will meet twice. First, we'll meet on Monday in our regular meeting room at 9 o'clock a.m., to further consider interim topics and including input from the public. And then we will meet on Wednesday, March the 7th at 8:30 a.m. in the Senate Judiciary Conference Room S1 to discuss interim topics with our colleagues from the other chamber.
Conference Committee on Senate File 8 will be Representative Simlick, Chair, Representatives Teeters, and Eklund. Stand at ease for just 1 second. Did you find the owner of the letter opener?
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Speaker, your joint revenue number 3 committee will meet Tuesday, March the 6th, 15 minutes after noon recess in room H11 to discuss joint interim topics.
Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Ag Committee will meet with the Light Committee from the Senate on Monday, March 5th at 12:30 p.m. in room S15 to discuss interim topics. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Stubson.
Mr. Speaker, may I have the privilege of the floor?
Please proceed.
Just a quick announcement. The Capitol Commission Bible study that we usually have on Wednesday morning, we'll have that on Monday morning next week. So if you want to start your week off well, meet us at 6:30 over in the Hersler atrium.
Any other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good work, everyone. If you're traveling, travel safely. We have 19 bills on general file, unless some report out that I haven't heard. As a result, we'll need to come in and work pretty hard early because we debate well. Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 9:30 Monday morning, March 5th, 2012.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
The House, you're going to be here all weekend. House is adjourned until 9:30 a.m. Monday, March 5th, 2012.